Good morning. I'm a little hard of hearing, so thanks for coming today. I didn't know how many we was going to have. Thanks for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you from God's holy and precious word. And to the men especially, thanks for the spiritual sword. Guess what the current issue's on? The church faces the future. Let me rephrase it a little bit. Sanford faces the future. What does God want for the present and the future for this congregation? I've read the issue twice. I might read it again. You'll find it very challenging. So I'm keenly aware that a lot of our members are in Atlanta, Georgia today. Let's have a short prayer for them. Again, Father, thanks for Jesus. Thanks for the Lads to Leaders program in the Brotherhood. We pray, Father, that those in Atlanta, Georgia will find this a very rewarding weekend. And we pray especially now for their safe return. Again, thank you for Jesus. His name we pray. Amen. Give you something to think about. A lot of thinking about this is a special weekend and a special day. In light of the reading from 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's resurrection chapter, this is a great weekend. This is an outstanding day. What's the very heart of the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have good news, glad tidings. Not just one day or one week in a year, but every day we live. What does it really mean that Jesus died for you and me? That he was buried and that he was raised for you and me? And all of this according to the scriptures. So I appreciated the reading from 1 Corinthians 15. If you have your Bible, our lesson today is based on Isaiah chapter 55. Now, I'm keenly aware of the last part of 52 and all of 53 in Isaiah and how Philip used the text with the treasure from Ethiopia in Acts 8. I think you'll see why I like, though, chapter 55. Before we go to that chapter, it helped me when we were studying the prophets. Do they tell us when they lived? What kings were reigning? So let's go to Isaiah chapter 1, and I am using the New King James Version. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. A lot of information in that one verse of Scripture. My understanding is it'd take a whole scroll for the writings of Isaiah. You could put all of the minor prophets on one scroll. And so generally we'd say Isaiah was a major prophet and the others were. Not that Isaiah was better than the others or more important, simply that his writings were longer. And some of the others were shorter. So, in my reading, I kept encountering at least 40 years. Some would even say 50 years. That was a long time. And then four kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. I'm not going to take the time, but you might check. What did heaven think about them? Were they good or bad? Pleasing or not? Like David or not? Now, the Old Testament tells what heaven thought of these kings. So check that out. Might find it. Let's go now to chapter 55 of Isaiah. In my Bible, there are five main sections of those 13 verses. And so I finally came up for a word to help me remember each one. And just see if you agree with me or if you come up with a different word that still fits the text. Number one, there's money. We still talk a lot about money, don't we? Then we have a choice to make. That's in our Isaiah 55. Then there's a reference to our mindset or our worldview. All Americans don't agree with the one I'm going to suggest. Then there's emphasis on the word. All this is in Isaiah 55. And then we'll close with peace. Let me read the first five verses and notice the emphasis on money. I will confess, when I first read it, I thought, not much in Isaiah 55, 1 through 5. I've changed it. We could have had a whole lesson just on those five verses, and I still wouldn't claim that we exhausted it. Ho, I like the word listen a little better. Listen. Pay attention. This is extremely important. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, not going to ask for a show of hands or anyone say amen. But have you ever been in a situation where you'd spent the money and the month's still not out? And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Don't we still extend the Gospels for all? For all that are thirsty, doesn't matter how, whether they have a lot of money or not, come to Jesus. Now verse 2 is what really caught my attention. And why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. We're not surprised at the next sentence, are we then? The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. David was a great military man. And with God on his side, he always won, didn't he? So, commander, many would translate as a teacher or instructor. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Money. That's what impressed me in these five verses. Is God interested in money? Was the promised Messiah interested in what we would earn and how we'd spend it? I still agree with Marshall Keeble, the late Marshall Keeble. God's shovel is larger than our shovel. Is that right or wrong? So, let me challenge you. There's a lot in this book about money, old and new. Now we're ready for verses 6 and 7. I was impressed with the key words. Have they really changed? We're going to use these verses later in extending the Lord's invitation. And incidentally, Duane, I like the invitation song. Ties in well. I surrender all. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek, call, forsake, return, mercy, pardon, or I like the word a little better, forgiveness. Is that what we're emphasizing this week again? Today? So, if I remember, we'll come back to these verses when we extend the Lord's invitation. Now, 8 and 9. A lot of the scholars thought, well, Isaiah was worthy of your reading, but it just referred to the exiles that were in captivity and then they returned. But then others, I was surprised to find, that had a Christian viewpoint, they looked at the verses as those that come to Jesus. And give you a little homework. Let me read the verses first. For my thoughts, now that's God speaking, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, just sort of delete in your mind's eye the word for, put your name, and read the verses. Did God want Isaiah to read it? Hey, I'm higher than you are. Put my name, Harry. I'm higher than you are. Really? Yes. My thoughts and your thoughts often don't agree. My ways and your ways often do not agree. And I would add the words, my plans and your plans often don't agree. And my timetable and yours often do not agree. We don't like to wait, do we? We want it right now. Is God time-bound like we are? So, let me read it again. That's really humbling. For my thoughts, God's thoughts, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord, the ruler, the owner, the one that is number one. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You could apply that to the president, the Congress, the judges, everyone in America. God is higher than we are. Didn't the text say, I'm in heaven? Doesn't this book say, and I'm perfect? We're down on earth. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because there wouldn't be that many. I'm imperfect. God's perfect. Oh, yes. No ifs, ands, buts, or wherefore. God is higher than any of us. Because he's God. So, do you have that mindset? That worldview? Better include God and his message? Now let's go to verses 10 and 11. We're going to put the emphasis on the word. And incidentally, I am looking at the clock in the foyer. Yeah, it agrees with my watch, but that'll be the authority. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Does God have a word? Now, we like to think about God, but really, the book says he's a spirit. We're familiar with the mouth. It shall not return to me void, empty, useless, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. What does God want for lads to leaders here at Sanford? There was reference to our spring meeting in May. What does God want for that meeting here at Sanford? Doug, I think it was in the bulletin, sometime we'll be thinking about, we'll have a VBS this summer, right? What does God want for Vacation Bible School at Sanford? And he has the power to accomplish or prosper, doesn't he? So think about that. What does God want us to accomplish in the spring and summer of 2024? Now, I'm guilty. Look what we have done. Maybe we need to sometimes at least change it and put it in our vocabulary. Look what God did through us, his servants. So, now we're ready for the remainder of the chapter, verses 12 and 13. I like joy and peace, and I'm familiar with sometimes how we would define joy, Jesus, others, yourself, and in that order, Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. But I'm going to put the emphasis on peace. What are the Russians and Ukrainians doing now? They're fighting one another, aren't they? They're at war. Let's go to the Middle East. What are the Israelis and those in Gaza doing? Or Hamas? Now, at first, the sentiment was, well, Hamas started it, and the Israelis can respond if they want to. Now the thought is, oh, those poor people in Gaza. And I would say, agree with it. They're starving. Let's have a ceasefire. Get some supplies to them. Who started it? Did those tunnels just happen overnight? Or did someone know? So, my Bible says the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isn't there the reading, it's the Gospel of Peace? We have a message that people need to think about. Peace. What does it mean to be at peace with God? With yourself? With others? So let me read it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. Some would say, well, for you shall go out from Babylon with joy. And be led out from Babylon with peace. You're going to leave Babylon. Go back to Judah and Jerusalem. With joy and peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. Did they have something to sing about? Do we today have a lot to sing about? And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. We really like something we clap, don't we? Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Now I would still say, ouch! To the thorn and the briar. Wouldn't you? We'd probably say, well, we like the tree, though. And for them, the cypress tree, the myrtle tree, and all of this is going to bring glory to whom? God. And it shall be the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, as I'm reading the book again, I'm impressed. Name of God. Glory of God. I like to laugh and say, our daughter knows more about our genealogy or the family tree on both sides than I do. That's okay. Because we're emphasizing genealogy. What about God? Genealogy of Jesus. And the genealogy, and Roger, I really liked the thoughts about Enoch, particularly in the lesson earlier today. He walked with God. So, now, let me read, and we'll use it this in extending the invitation. Now, remember the song we're going to use, I Surrender What I Like To? What it is convenient? Now we're going to sing, I Surrender All. Could we sing a lie? Like, better not preach a lie. But I surrender all. Now, think of the exiles. You've been transported to Babylon. Now you can go back home. And incidentally, I find it interesting, a lot of the Jews didn't go back home, did they? Seek the Lord while he may be found. What do they need to do? Not seek the Babylonians, Chaldeans, or the gods of Babylon, but seek the Lord. Call upon him while he is near. Who they need to call upon? And let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Why they go into captivity? Because of their thinking and ways that were not God's thinking, God's ways. Let him return to the Lord. Don't go back to Babylon, Chaldeans. Go to the Lord. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Didn't they want the mercy of God, forgiveness of God? Babylonians couldn't do it. Chaldeans couldn't do it. But God could. Now, we're coming to today. Has it changed? Seek Jesus. Call on Jesus. Forsake your way or the way of sin and your evil thoughts. I'm going to change the word return. For them, yes, they need to return to the Lord. We need to make sure we continue to follow the Lord. Maybe you need to return to him. Do we still live in a world where we need mercy and forgiveness? So I surrender all. Has that changed? Now, in the past, you asked me, what am I trying to be? I would have said, well, a New Testament Christian. I've sort of changed it in recent time. I'm trying. Now, I've already told you, you can ask my wife, I'm not infallible, am I? Enough said. Do we still live in a world we'd like mercy and forgiveness? Someone be merciful or kind to you? Willing to overlook your flaws and forgive you? So, let's take our songbooks now. I surrender all. So, is that what you need to do this morning? Now, we've had some great speakers for our meetings, haven't we? I still remember the one brother said on Saturday you need to prepare for Sunday. On Sunday you need to attend the services and participate. Well, we'd agree with that, wouldn't we? Sounds good. Going to prepare and then I'm going to participate. And then his thought was, the rest of Sunday and Monday through Saturday, how are you going to live? A life of purity. You prepare, you participate, and you live right. Well, first two sound great. What about the third? So, or maybe you need to return to the Lord. You started out, but then you said, get lost. I don't need you. Yes, we do. And so I liked another brother in a spring meeting that emphasized, become a Christian. Go to heaven. Desire to go to heaven. Expect to go to heaven. You have hope. I'm just dead all over like Rover. I hope that's not true. There's life after life on this earth. So, I don't think, I'm glad Brian could be in Georgia today, and I'll be among those looking forward to him being back. How's he going to react if we had a baptism today? Would he react if, well, so-and-so came back to the Lord? Say, well, they should have done it when I was there. Or, thank God. I don't see him jumping up and down and putting this on him, do you? He'd say, thank God. Thank Jesus. Thank the Spirit. So, do you need to come? I can't think of a better day. Not just on Easter weekend or Easter Sunday. But this today, the beginning. So, I surrender all. If you need to come. I'm sure all of us would say, do it now. Don't wait to Wednesday night or next Sunday or next month or next year. Now. So, if you'd like to come, we hope you will. We ask you to stand and Dwayne leads us. Excellent song.